Peter. Grafton Manor's arched windows stare blankly down at me as I arrive in my pickup truck. I take in the elaborate stonework on the facade. I love this kind of architecture. It's Victorian, but nods to the Jacobean style the English were so fond of in the mid-1800s. This is an incredible specimen. Of course, I've seen it on TV 1,000 times. I've watched every episode of Bake Week at least twice, but then it was just a backdrop. In person, you get a totally different sense of the place. For one, it is in the middle of nowhere. There's a tiny village, really just a gas station and a diner along the road, about a mile away, but the closest real town is at least 45 miles through the woods. You really feel how disconnected it is driving up here. Literally. On the way in, my service kept cutting out, and I doubt there's a good connection anywhere close by. As if to illustrate my point, a man is standing at the front of the house talking on his cell phone, leaning against one of the marble lions on the staircase. "Do you know where I should park?" I call out to him. He points to where the drive curves around the side of the building. I follow the road around to a small strip of spaces and park next to a flashy white BMW. Most of the rest of the lot has been taken over by a large trailer. Camera equipment, I realize, as I grab my duffel bag from the bed of my truck and amble around the corner back toward the main entrance. Ivy grows up the outer wall on this side of the building, winding its way up the brick around the windows all the way to the slate roof. It flutters in the breeze, making the whole side of the building look ephemeral, alive. I nod to the man still talking on his phone and pass between the lions, pushing open an iron-studded door. I blink as my eyes adjust to the dim light inside. I'm standing in a large, open entryway. In front of me, a grand staircase rises like a mahogany waterfall, curving elegantly up in either direction at the landing. A woman hovers near a suit of armor guarding the foyer. She wears a form-fitting skirt, her shiny brown hair twisted into a thick knot at her neck, the kind of put-together you don't see much where I live. She is staring down at a clipboard, a pencil bobbing between two fingers. Her face twitches nervously when she finally sees me. "Sound guys use the back entrance," she barks. "I'm here to bake," I reply, "if that's okay." She frowns and looks at her papers, flipping through a few pages. I see each of them has a headshot on it. She lands finally on a giant photo of my face, embarrassment filling hers as she registers the match. "So sorry about that. Peter, welcome."
"It's all right. I'm used to it," I say. "It's true, kind of. Except in the work I do, I normally am the guy who is supposed to use the side door. I know that I'm not going to win any awards for best dressed or anything, but I am wearing my newest flannel, and I did get a haircut before I left. Not that it's easy to tame my curls. My hair has its own ecosystem," Frederick likes to tease. The woman is effusive now, trying to make up for not recognizing me. She smiles, but her face looks almost pained, as though it's a look she isn't particularly practiced at.
"I'm Melanie, Bake Week's lead coordinator. I keep things running on time, and it's my job to make sure everyone is where they need to be at exactly the right moment. You'll be seeing a lot of me this week. As per Bake Week rules, I'll need you to hand me your cell phone, and then I can take you to your room so you can relax before dinner."
I hand over my dinged-up phone somewhat reluctantly and watch her put it into a box, placing it on top of another phone with a glittery pink case.
"Shall we?"
She smiles again, the muscles in her neck straining as she gestures toward the staircase.
"Leave your bags. Someone will take them up later."
"It's okay. I've got it," I say, patting the side of the duffel, still dangling from my shoulder.
Her lips tighten, but she nods in surrender. I follow her up the massive central staircase, admiring the smoothness of the wooden banisters, the detail in the carvings on their spokes. There are many Victorian houses in Vermont, but the size and quality of the craftsmanship at Grafton are unlike anything I've seen. We come to a large landing where the staircase splits off into two smaller sets of steps, which wind elegantly up in opposite directions to different wings of the house.
"You'll be staying in the west wing," Melanie says, leading me up the staircase to the right.
She pauses, gesturing back across the landing at an identical set of stairs and doors.
"The east wing is Betsy Martin's private quarters, and it is completely off-limits to guests. If you need anything, be sure to contact one of the staff from the telephone in your room. There's a list of our names in the dossier."
Ah, yes, the dossier. It came in the mail in an overnight package I had to sign for, practically in blood. This was, of course, after I signed the stack of non-disclosure forms, promising not to spill any of Bakeweek's secrets before it airs. The show is extremely protective of itself, which makes sense. For just over a month of each year, it is the most popular program on television, inspiring fanatics and copycats. People have even been known to peek through Grafton's gates to try to catch a glimpse of the action. The rules are there to protect the integrity of the show, and I'll respect them. If I can remember them all, that is. The official Bake Week dossier is a behemoth, spiral-bound packet covering the rules and offering helpful suggestions for how to look and act on camera. I've done my best to soak it all in, but maybe I should read it over one more time tonight just to be sure. I'm feeling anxious, like I might forget something. I would be so embarrassed if I put the show in jeopardy. We continue down a long, dim hallway until Melanie stops abruptly at a doorway on our right. She double-checks her clipboard and swings open the door, letting the glow of afternoon light into the hall.
"Here you are. Hope you're comfortable."
I blink as I step past her. My room makes up for its modest size with an impossibly tall ceiling that arcs upward from the corners and a window that stretches up from near the floor, coming to a point at the top like something you'd find in a church. There's a dressing table and tall chest of drawers along one wall. Most of the room is taken up by a large bed with carved wood posters spiraling up to the ceiling. Above the bed, a painting of the manor in its younger days hangs on wire from the crown molding. I love these Victorian houses. With all their quirks, they feel almost human to me, like they could be old friends. More than anything, I relish learning all their stories, uncovering their pasts. I've never had the patience for academia, or I'm sure I'd have become a historian. It's probably why I went into restoration work. I notice a crack in the molding that follows the corner of the wall. It's a thin crack, not structural or anything. Nothing I couldn't fix if given the chance. Seeing flaws in buildings is a force of habit, like how a dentist must notice the imperfections in everyone's teeth when they smile. I have to remind myself that I'm not here to work, I'm here to bake. Still, I'd jump at the chance to help restore some of Grafton Manor. The scuffs in the hardwood and cracks in the parapet where I noticed it crumbling. "I'll be great," I smile, putting down my duffel on the floral duvet. After she leaves, I sit on the bed for a moment, taking it all in. Then I open my suitcase and transfer some of my shirts to hangers in the wardrobe. Don't want them to get too wrinkled before tomorrow. Our first day of competition already. I feel around into the bottom of my duffel for the picture, my hand wrapping around the frame. It's my favorite photo of Frederick and our daughter Lulu at the park. I'd tied a t-shirt around it to protect it, and I unwind it now gingerly, using the shirt to polish the glass before placing it on the bedside table. I go to the window and look out, resting my forehead on the cool, leaded glass. The tent is almost directly below me, the manor casting a bluish shadow over its white-peaked top. It's incredible to me that they film Bake Week in Betsy Martin's actual home. What other TV personality would ever allow that? I suppose it helps make the show that much more intimate. Bake Week is a special kind of entertainment. It's not just a show for bakers, though obviously that is the main activity. It's something else, too, an escape of sorts, A glimpse into a simpler way of being, where people are kind to one another, and sugar isn't thought of as junk food, but as something special to be shared and cherished. Where you can say, I love you, with a slice of cake. The thrill of it all creeps up my chest. I've really made it. Who'd have ever thought a hobby as silly as baking could bring me to something like this? Frederick did. He's always believed in my baking, to the point where I've sometimes wondered if it was not so much my incredible baking skills, so much as he is just blinded by his affection for me. He was there cheering me on for my first rather pitiful attempts at layer cakes. I was alone in the house the day I got the call from the adoption agency. There was a baby girl waiting for us to take her home. I remember looking at the clock, and it was only 11:30. Frederick is an optometrist who would be with his patients, unreachable for the remainder of the day. Unsure what to do with all my pent-up excitement, I baked a confetti sponge cake and topped it with a whipped buttercream, all the while trying to picture her, our little Lulu. It's hard to believe there was ever a time I didn't know every bit of her, every lopsided smile and petulant scowl, every pale half moon on her fingernails. When Frederick came home that evening, he saw my cake sitting slightly lopsided on the kitchen counter. He looked from me to the cake, and all I had to do was give a small nod for his eyes to well up. We were going to be parents. Of course, now I make treats for the three of us all the time. Baking is among my favorite ways to care for my little family. I feel my chest tighten with a surge of gratitude for Frederick and look for my phone to text him until I realize that I no longer have it. The idea of being unreachable, of not being able to text to see how Lulu is doing, even though the producers assured me I would be contacted if there were any real emergency, fills me with a strange feeling, like I am very far away from everyone. I guess that is kind of the point, though, to keep us focused on Bake Week. I take a quick shower and change into a different plaid button-up shirt for dinner, one of the ones I've bought specially for the occasion. I catch a glimpse of myself in the beveled mirror hanging above the dressing table. My hair is a mess, but that's not unusual. Otherwise, not so bad for 42. I try to let myself give in to the experience of just being here. What is baking, I remind myself, other than a way to show others you care about them? I focus on how Frederick and Lulu will be able to watch when the show airs. Even if I manage to stick around all week, I know this experience will be fleeting. I need to just embrace it. Besides, I feel lighter and happier than I have in a long time. It's time to go downstairs and meet the competition.